Welcome back to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, and we're going to attempt to wrap up this study on the report. This will be part four, and to just go over some of the information we've covered in the first three installments. You know, we see this theme going on here of death. You know, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, you know, makes war with them, overcomes them, and kills them. You know, they were those who had life died. And what is this death that we see reoccurring in the book of Revelation? And I'm telling you, it's not a physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. And we're going to wrap this whole thing up in Revelation chapter 20. And I got to just, you know, bring it back to my friend Robert on Facebook, who was really responsible for bringing so much of this stuff out to me. And I want to thank him for, you know, engaging me in this discussion, to put it mildly, that we had on Facebook. And it's taken me into a whole new level of understanding of Revelation chapter 20 and how it ties into you know, the other verses, the other passages of scripture that we've been over. But I'm just going to start with Revelation chapter 20 verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Okay, very important here. Now we have them that were beheaded, and then they lived. So the same group was beheaded, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And I'm telling you right now, that beheading is not a physical chopping your head off by a guillotine, which, by the way, right now, you know, that woman, I can't think of her name, who's been around for, you know, years, who keeps finding the guillotines in the railroad cars and swears the CIA has them stashed on railroad crossings. You know, all this stuff that's out there today, you know, man's attempt at bringing reality to these hidden metaphoric scriptures, but they're just clueless about what this is teaching. You know, I have to hand it to my brother Bill for really connecting up this beheading, what that means. It means to be cut off. I mean, to be severed from, really severed from the harlot church. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 5. Our necks are under persecution. We labor and have no rest. I mean, this is talking about the Christian who is under tremendous persecution, beheaded for the witness of Jesus. You know, this is the persecution that we suffer for the testimony of Christ. And this is what's taking place here in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And these are the ones who overcame the beast, his image, the mark on their forehead or on their hands. But then this is where it gets real interesting. Revelation 20, verse 5. It says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Okay? I'm telling you, this first resurrection is that resurrection that we saw back in Revelation chapter 11. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That's the first resurrection. And it's a spiritual resurrection. It's when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, when we ascend to the right hand of the Father and we rule and reign with Him. It's after all the apostasy, all the falling away, all the trying by fire and purification that takes place in every believer's life. It's when He truly does overcome the beast. At the end, when we overcome His mark, we ascend at the end of the 1,000 years. Now this is where this thing gets real interesting. I'm going to make some connections here, because it says in Revelation 11 verse 7, and when they had finished their testimony, so this is when the two witnesses finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit makes war against them and kills them. And then we read back in Revelation 20, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So there's Satan being loosed out of his prison, which is the bottomless pit. And then we see in Revelation 11:7, that they have finished their testimony, the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit. I'm going to show you what this is. Now we have to realize that this word in Revelation 11:7, when they have finished, it's the same word as Revelation 27, when the 1,000 years are expired. It's G50-5055 in the Strong's. And it's to end, that is complete, execute, conclude, discharge a debt, in parenthetically, accomplish, make an end, expire, fill up, finish, go, over, pay, perform. It's from G5056, the conclusion of an act or state, termination, literally, figuratively, result. Isaiah 28:19, for the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation, only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, the covering narrow than he can wrap himself. Well, that's covenant there. He's in apostasy. He's not covered by covenant. That's just a metaphor for that. 28:21. The Lord shall rise up on Mount Perazim, shall be wroth. This is the Lord's anger, the Lord's indignation. This is the Lord, wroth, as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Folks, this is the exact same thing. It's right. This thing comes full circle now. It's right back where we started. This is the report. The report is about the consumption. It's the finishing up of things. Consumption is, in the Strong's in the Hebrew, H3617. Completion, adverbially, completely. Also destruction, altogether. Consume, consummation, was determined. Full utterance and riddance. Now see, this is the exact same word. It's consummation in Isaiah 28. The same word as consumption in Daniel 9:27. See, I'm telling you, this Daniel 9:27 is the, it's the meeting point for everything. I mean, that piece of scripture, those four verses, is the foundation of the whole story. And, and Daniel 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. Okay, this is, just gigantic. We've got the two witnesses finishing their testimony, and then the bottomless pit is open. We have the fulfillment of the 1,000 years in Revelation chapter 20. We have the consummation in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And then in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, and arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that makes desolate, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And then I'm jumping to verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. So here we have it again. We've got accomplished. It's H3615 in the Strong's. A primitive root to end, whether intransitively to cease, be finished, perish, transitively to complete, prepare, consume, accomplish, cease, determine, destroy, done. expire. And it's the same thing, same idea. This is all it. This is the end. This is the end. It's the end of the 1,000 years. The 1,000 years is the period of time that is described here in Revelation chapter 20. I'll pick up where we left off. We left off with verse 4, where they were beheaded and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Okay, the first resurrection. The first resurrection is true salvation. Now, this isn't salvation that you get when you go forward at a Billy Graham concert. I mean, this is salvation that you receive when you overcome the beast, and you, however long this takes in anybody's life, and over the first resurrection, on such the second death has no power. Now, that second death is not the physical death that we've been taught. That second death is the apostasy, the death that we see happening in Revelation 11, where the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit makes war with them and kills them. It's the death that we see in where those that had life died. It's the apostasy. The second death is apostasy, that those who truly experience the first resurrection, the second death has no power. The second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, that's talking about reigning and ruling with Christ while this fallen world is happening. That's the 1,000 years. See, the 1,000 years is a finite period of time, and it's the time when the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan are existing together at the same time. That's how you can see it. That's the best way to describe the 1,000 years, because we go into the next chapter, and I'm not even going to go there. I'm just going to paraphrase it. When the new heaven and the new earth comes down, and there's no sea, there's no tribulation. There's New Jerusalem has come. This is before that happens. This is what leads up to that. That's why this is so important to understand. And this is the big, big link to all this. And I'm telling you, the mystery behind the 70 weeks of Daniel is the fact that, but they are missing such a big key to this mysterious period known as the New Testament era, when the covenant is written on our heart. I mean, I'm telling you, but it's most accurately defined in Scripture as the 1,000 years. That's the New Testament era, when the gospel prevails. Why? Because Satan is bound. He's bound, and he is not able to deceive the nations, the Gentiles. And this is the period of time when the Gentiles come in. This is the fullness of the Gentiles through the New Testament era, when the Gentile is able to accept the gospel and become part of the Israel of God. And here's the link, the biggest link that we have between the Old Testament and the New Testament with this prophecy. And what the Lord is talking about is the next verse in Revelation 20, verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Now, I don't know how many out there right now can realize what a big, important piece of scripture that is. But that reference to Gog Magog is in the New Testament, the end of the New Testament, and it links you right back to Ezekiel chapter 38. Okay? And what we see taking place back in Ezekiel is the Assyrian invasion, when the army from the north invaded Israel. And that was a similitude written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world has come. And now here we have the replay of that Gog-Magog invasion, in that it is a metaphor
for the invasion of false teachers, false prophets that the Lord allows to invade his own house, to gather them together for battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. Now, why is this important? Because it's happening right now. And the Gog-Magog war is the opening of the bottomless pit. It's the indignation of the Lord. It's the little season, the short space, 3.5 years. It's the overflowing scourge. It's the Lord's strange act, his strange work. It's the cessation of the sacrifice. It's the abomination of desolation. It's the consumption, the consummation. It's the Gog-Magog war. It's the covenant with death, the agreement with hell. It's the mark of the beast. It's the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. The first half of the week is the New Testament era, the 1,000 years. It's the Chaldeans. Habakkuk 1:6, "For lo, I will raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hath to eat." And that's talking about the false teachers, the invasion of the Chaldeans, the army out of the north, Joel's army, Joel's locust army, that the Lord's work that if he were to tell us, we wouldn't believe it. It's also the covenant with the Assyrians in Hosea. Ephraim feedeth on wind, followeth after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. Period that we're talking about is, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." It's all talking about the same thing. It's the end. It's the time when, after the 1,000 years are expired, when Satan is loosed out of his prison. And the most amazing thing of all about all this is that it's happening right now. We are smack in the middle of the tribulation. There is no question. The tribulation is deception, and it's false teaching that invades the Lord's house. It's the indignation of the Lord, even until the consummation. "And the king that shall do according to his will," this is the spirit of Antichrist that has infiltrated the church, replaced Jesus Christ with Antichrist, replaced the true gospel of repentance and losing your life and entering into covenant. That gospel has been replaced with flatteries, the gospel of "do whatever you well please." "The king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself." He has done this. He will magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against God of gods, and shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished. And this is the spirit of Antichrist is going to control the church until the indignation is accomplished, until this work that the Lord, if he were to tell us, we wouldn't believe it, is accomplished. And that is determined shall be done. Now, we have to realize, now, when we talk about Antichrist, you know, we're talking about spirit, a spirit, the spirit of Antichrist that inhabits men the same way Jesus inhabits men. That's Antichrist. It's the alternate Christ. It's in place of Christ. It's the gospel that is in place of the true gospel. This is what we have to understand. And while the corporate church, you know, that is anywhere, you know, concerned with end times, is looking to the Middle East for a physical Antichrist figure to stand up. You know, there's that whole sect that's sure Obama is the Antichrist, and there's the faction that is sure that the next pope is going to be the Antichrist. All that stuff is a shell game. It's all external, physical deception that just doesn't matter, because it has nothing to do with a man's soul. And it's the spirit that is indwelling the person is the spirit that is going to dictate where that person spends eternity. And if it's the counterfeit, like James Lloyd said the other night on the Kirtner and Kerr show, he did a fantastic job. There's a link to it on the website. He said Satan impersonates Christ with as much truth as he can possibly get away with and still be on the other side of the plumb line. That's how it works. It's all deception, folks. It's all about deception. And when we take a verse like Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." And this is the spirit that's running your pastor, probably, at most pastors at most corner churches are being run by this guy who's standing up in his estate. Because his estate is a spiritual estate. It's in the heavenly realms, influencing the mouths of these false teachers. That's what this is about. "And with arms of a flood," which, by the way, that's another one on the list that I missed, the flood. And there was an excellent show a few weeks ago called The Flood. I recommend anybody that hasn't heard it to go back and listen to it. You see the metaphor of the flood from Daniel chapter 9, the 70 weeks. It's all there, folks. "And the flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people." That, folks, is talking about the covenant that he shall confirm for 1 week in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Beyond shadow of a doubt, there is no question at all in my mind anymore. The Lord has revealed this clearly to me, that Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 is bad. It's talking about the abomination of desolation, and that the spirit of Antichrist makes a covenant with many, and that many is the apostate Christian. It's the apostate Christian that falls into the deception. That deception gets so bad that in the midst of the week, he causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, he sets up the abomination of desolation. This is when the church goes bad, and this is the time of the end. That sets up the time of the end. This is the indignation of the Lord, and until it is finished, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." Tribulation, that is the New Testament era. We enter the kingdom of God with much tribulation, likened to the persecution of the saints since the time of Christ, Stephen, Inquisitions, the Waldensians, the Separatists, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, all went through tribulation. But Satan was bound in the bottomless pit, and the gospel was able to thrive. The gospel was able to go out. And I see clearly that the first half of the 70th week of Daniel is the New Testament era. And I see it clearly as the thousand-year reign, while the royal priesthood is able to rule and reign with Christ, and the gospel is able to go out. But then, this is the link, and this is what we're going to close the show with tonight. Gog-Magog War in Ezekiel chapter 38, directly linked to the New Testament end in Revelation 20, verse 8. "And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea." The fact that Satan has been released from his bottomless pit to go out and deceive the collective nations In other words, enable to assemble an entire beast kingdom, just like he did at the time of the first coming. He's again gathered the transgressors from the four quarters, and at the same time, the Lord is gathering his elect from the four winds. And they're gathered together to do battle. We see the battle of the army we looked at in Ezekiel chapter 37 that stood upon their feet when the Lord breathed life into them. That's the good army that comes against the bad army, the Gog Magog army, the Joel's army, the army of false teachers that are spewing lies from the pulpits of the churches. And this is raging today in every corner church, and it's the end. And as this thing plays out, as these transgressors come to the full, this thing's going to get real interesting, because the Lord uses his own house to judge itself. And while the apostate Christian church is either looking ahead for Russia to invade Israel, or they're working their plan to fix Babylon, little do they realize that they are the players in the Gog-Magog war, and that they have made a covenant with death and an agreement with hell. And in falsehoods have they hid themselves, and they've made lies their refuge. But the good news is that this covenant with death is disannulled, and this agreement with hell will not stand. And there is a portion that is restored. The Lord says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. This is very encouraging, because the years that the locusts that have ascended out of the bottomless pit, the years of false doctrine that the locusts have devoured the truth with, the Lord does restore those years. And there is a portion that does make it through this time of the indignation of the Lord. And with that, I'm just going to say good night. God bless everyone. And until next time, this is Chris Ardern from Sound Doctrine.
In the dust again. Oh God. kitchen treasure. Why didn't